Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Today's trigger warnings are explicit sexual content and human trafficking.
And we're back.
Yeah,
hello,
baby.
How was your guys' Thanksgiving, your Christmas, your New Year's?
Happy New Year.
It's New Year's today.
Oh, Happy New Year.
Happy 2025, baby.
Yeah, what's it like in the future?
Oh.
No flying cars yet.
No, probably not.
In the couple months.
Yeah.
And we have a review. Thank you, guys. This one is from JoJoBird96, and it says, 1,000 stars. Love y'all. I've looked through a few smut podcasts, and this is the only place I'll listen. Great book recs, even though I maybe don't want to read about turkey men myself. Still a good laugh. You'll definitely make me LOL at work on a regular basis. JoJo Bird.
Yay. Thanks, JoJo Bird.
You little cutie.
Also, if you're JoJo Bird, why not the turkeys?
Honestly.
Yeah, fuck another turkey.
The turkeys? Not as bad as they sound.
No.
The shifter turkeys.
Specifically the shifter turkeys.
Are you saying you would prefer like a corn man? A pumpkin man?
I think
I
prefer the shifter turkeys.
Yeah.
Well, that one, the Riley reads with the turkey was alarming because he was just a turkey.
Oh, that one was scary. But the one you guys did, what was it called again?
Gabby and the Gobblers or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
That one was good. That one was good. But the one I did?
Terrifying.
That, jarring. Yeah, that was scary. With his turkey eyes?
Yeah. Ew. And his beak?
Ew. He still had a whole turkey body.
Didn't he? No, he had a man body with a turkey head.
Yeah,
turkey head. That's right.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
I think I would prefer the corn man.
To the turkey face, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, those ridges might be nice, you know?
You never know. Yeah. The kernels.
Yeah.
And this week, we're telling Riley all about Stalked by the Kraken by Lily and Lark. And how many stars did you guys give it on Goodreads?
I actually gave it a 4. I like that there was like half plot, half smut. Like it wasn't just, I don't know. I thought it was good. There was a good story to it. And Kraken.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Kraken. I gave it a 4 as well. I think what really sold it to me was just our male main character. I loved him.
Mine isn't a fair rating.
Oh, no. Why?
Well, I was tandem reading because I'll read my personal book and then I'll also at the same time be reading the book that we're covering. So I was reading this at the same time as Phantasma, which was 5 stars, top 5 books of 2024. So fucking good. In comparison, I gave this one a 3.
That's fair.
I think if I was reading it and giving it a fair shot, I'm aware that this isn't fair. I probably would have given it more like a 3.5, 4. But compared to Phantasma, I was just like, oh my gosh, it can't hold a candle, you know? So go check out Phantasma.
I feel like it's also hard too when you're reading such a good book, tandem reading with something like this, to be like invested in this. I think I would have, if this was a personal book, I would have DNF'd it if I was also reading something way better.
Yeah.
And not because it's bad, it's just like you said, when you're reading something so good and then you have this on the side, it's just like, well,
yeah, because it was like low stakes, shorter, less serious, so I was like, oh, I just want to read Phantasma.
Oh, I could never read 2 books at one time. Mm-mm.
I'm not like one eye on one book and one eye on the other, but like,
oh my God.
Can you imagine?
My lazy eye just... I don't have a lazy eye.
She does not.
For the record. So our story starts off with our male main character, Gideon. And Gideon is meeting a skeezy informant at a coffee shop about the whereabouts of a valuable artifact. It's an amulet that has been passed down for generations through a family of witches. The man tells Gideon that the amulet will pass through an auction taking place in 3 weeks' time. The informant leaves the coffee shop, and when the next patron walks in, the inner beast inside of Gideon senses their presence immediately and claims them as his. So he's like, mine.
His inner beast?
Yeah.
His inner beast, his inner kraken.
So who walks in?
Just a random girl.
Okay. And so he was like, that's mine right there.
That's mine, yeah.
Okay.
She's a beautiful, pale-skinned, freckled redhead. So a little gingy.
Ooh, cute.
After she walks in, two women that this mystery woman recognizes walks in, and they say they haven't seen her around the bathhouse, and someone named Lowell told them that she would be here. So her friends were looking for her because she hasn't been around.
Where have you been, girl?
She tells them that she's been trying to get her head on straight after the breakup, and now Gideon, because he's listening, he's like, what? A bathhouse? A breakup? What's the tea?
Yeah, as anyone would.
Yeah.
She leaves with her friends after they suggest some retail therapy, and Gideon stealthily follows them. Some time passes, and Rose, which is this woman's name, and her name is Rose Love.
I hate that.
So Rose is on her way to work at the bathhouse, but she can't help but feel like someone is watching her. So she gets that tingly sensation at the back of her neck where she's like, someone's watching me. Who could it be?
I don't know if that gives me a tingling sensation. That more so like makes me want to shit.
That's the tingling, your butthole.
Yeah. Yeah. Not on the back of your neck, but like on the bottom of your butthole.
Yeah, I'm like, oh my God, someone's watching me.
So this bathhouse that Rose's family owns is glamored, so humans only see it as a video rental store, which was so funny because this book was written in 2021. So like, why is there a video rental store?
Yeah, how odd.
It's the last Blockbuster, keeping it alive, folks.
Side note, a bathhouse. What the fuck is that?
A place where sexual endeavors happen.
Oh, okay, that's what I thought. Like a little hoe house.
A little hoe house. I feel like it's like a cross between like a spa and a brothel.
Yeah,
okay. A sprothel.
Oh, TM. TM, TM, TM.
Rose is greeted by her cousin Lowell, who just got done servicing a succubi named Catherine, and he is smitten with this succubi. Rose works as a matchmaker at the bathhouse, and Lowell asks her to do her stuff and see how compatible him and Catherine are. So that's like her little power. She can sense people's soul threads and then make an assessment on how compatible they would be as a couple.
Yeah.
Mm. So Lowell and Catherine are only a 10% match, so she's like, sorry guys, it's not gonna work. Lowell is disappointed but understanding, and while they're talking, a harpy named Sophia walks in asking what kind of services they provide. Rose explains that they provide spaces for two or more consensual adults to have sexual experiences, and for payment, they use the magic siphoned off from these acts to sell to other people to use for wards or other spells. So they don't accept payment. Rose will match these people. They'll have their first sexual intimate experience at this bathhouse, and then the bathhouse has siphons that will siphon off the magic from these magical beings, and then they'll sell them off to other people.
Okay.
The magic in this book was actually kind of cool. Like, I thought that was cool to use the magic of others as a payment for other people's spells.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they like sell the magic. So yeah, it works out.
Different.
It's like a win-win.
Kinky public groups are currently on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Sodomy Saturday has become very popular, but it suggested you BYO P. Bring your own partner for that. Oh, okay. I was like, wait, what? Bring your own puss? Sodomy. Sodomy's butt.
Yeah, sodomy is booty. Sodomy Saturdays.
Sodomy Saturdays. We also suggest spelling leathers against moisture, as the bathhouse is a functional bathhouse and quite humid, even in the public baths.
The woman asks for more information on Rose's matchmaking skills and gets details on how to sign up, and then Rose's brother Jared walks in with a weird expression on his face, asking to speak with her privately. We learn that there's some financial troubles with the business because Rose isn't making enough matches, and that means that people aren't coming here to bang it out enough. So she's a perfectionist. She will only match people who are 100% compatible.
Oh.
And he's like, you gotta like let go a little bit. Throw some like 70%, 80%.
Yeah, see what happens.
Sophia leaves and heads to the coffee shop to meet up with Gideon, who has been stalking Rose for weeks, and gives him all the information she just got about the bathhouse and what Rose does there. So she was scoping out the joint for Gideon. And that's who's been watching her, if you didn't already catch that. Stalked by the Kraken. I feel like it's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
He pays her the money he owes her for her services and is like, okay, now I have a mate to catch. He goes to the bathhouse and asks to speak to the matchmaker and is showed to Rose's office. When she sees him walk in, she's taken aback by how strikingly handsome he is. She automatically senses a huge surge of power from him and is like, this is a cash cow. Like, if I can get him in the bathhouse, oof. She takes his coat, and just the physical contact from that has her feeling all tingly. But as she analyzes him, she realizes he lacks soul threads for some reason, and therefore she cannot match him to anybody. So she's like, damn.
So he's not a cash cow.
She lets him know that unfortunately she will be unable to find him a match, and he's like, don't worry, I already have someone in mind.
You.
He's very forward.
He is, yeah.
He is very forward. She asks, why her? And he's just like, why not you? Like, why not?
Yeah.
She refuses him, and he's like, okay, if you change your mind, here's my card. He leans in and sniffs her, and she's surprised that she actually finds that kind of sexy.
Mm.
Gideon leaves, and he's not even bummed she turned him down because he could sense her arousal around him. So he's like, she said no, but her pussy said maybe.
Yeah.
He's walking down the sidewalk, and he runs into his demon friend and coworker, Mace. They're on a job in the neighborhood, and Mace wants to see how it's going, but can tell that Gideon has a special lady on the brain. But Gideon refuses to talk about it, saying that he's being careful, but his creature is obsessed with this new woman. Meanwhile, Rose is in turmoil in her office, stewing over Gideon and her lack of successful matches. Her cousin walks in and is like, why the long face? And who was that guy that was just in here? She tells him Gideon propositioned her, and he's like, okay, and what did you say? And she's like, I don't want to fuck a client in exchange for magic.
Why not? Just do it.
Let loose. Let your hair down. Her cousin is like, you literally used to jump into orgies for fun, so what's the big deal about fucking this guy? He tells her he's worried about her and this dry spell that she's in the middle of. And we learn that she recently had a bad breakup with a guy named Jackson a while back, and now everybody is worried about her because she just never really bounced back. So she did her matchmaking between her and this Jackson guy, and it said they were 100% compatible, and then he broke her heart.
So now she's like doubting her skills and stuff.
Yeah.
She decides she should consider Gideon's proposal and picks up the business card and then calls him and sets up a meeting at the coffee shop. When they meet, she tells him she has conditions. 3 sessions, but she wants to get to know him first, and that if either of them call it off, there are no repercussions. They shake on it, and the physical contact is electric. She tells him about how she became a matchmaker after being taught by her great-grandmother, and then she asks what he is, and he's like, have you ever heard of a Kraken? She's like, like a giant octopus, and he's like, how about I just show you? And then he brings her to this nearby museum exhibit to show her some underwater treasure, and I'm pretty sure the underwater treasure he's showing her is like the treasure he's collected for the city throughout the years, because he's like 1,000 years old.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's old as fuck.
Then she asks him if he has tentacles, but he just blushes.
He says, The question is whether that would be desirable to you. Gideon's voice is playful. I can keep my parts to myself if you hate the idea. Tentacles. I'm not saying no, because I'm not. Interest makes my blush worse. But I also just don't know. I don't want to get his hopes up and then dislike it. Fair enough. I feel like tentacles are definitely a preference.
Yeah.
They're not for everyone.
No.
Yeah. She starts asking about the size and if his Kraken form is like as big as a ship. And he's like, baby, I can be whatever size you want me to be.
Woof. My other form is of shipwrecking size. And if we explore that in our intimacy, you won't have to worry about that scale. I'm more magic than anything else. So everything will be size appropriate for the function. The function of fucking. The magic thing makes sense with how magic exudes from him. Filling every space he enters. $5. And now I'm blushing again. The heat is welcome, though. This is fun.
This is fun.
This is fun.
She asks how old he is when she sees some of his treasures from the 1600s, and he says too old. He doesn't remember super far back. He just is. And some of his kind can leave the ocean like he can. He's only met one other kraken, but was told all the others are either dead or sleeping. But treasure hunting helps to keep his creature happy and himself alive and awake. So I think if he doesn't continue to like satisfy his inner beast, he'll like fall asleep and turn into a rock or something at the bottom of the ocean.
Oh.
Yeah. She blurts out that she's fucked a lot, and he's like, oh, cool, me too.
He's like, yeah, I'm super old.
He confesses that one day he wants to be a father, but no kraken has ever been known to reproduce. But they're still going to be using contraception for their sessions. And she's like, don't worry. And she points to her special witchy birth control necklace. So she wears a necklace that makes it so she doesn't get impregnated while she's fucking.
Wouldn't that be so nice?
It's a cute rose quartz, too.
Yeah. And yeah. You could just, like, take it off, I guess, when you don't want it anymore.
Yeah.
And she do.
They chat a bit more, and she tells him during her matchmaking career, she's only made 5 perfect matches. One of them was hers, but he rejected her a few months ago, and Gideon tenses, and says he wants to break this man's neck for hurting her, but at the same time, he'd break the man's back to get to her had they still been together at this point. Rose is smitten and is like, okay, I've gotten to know you enough. Let's go back to the bathhouse. They get to their private room and she locks the door, stripping immediately. She tells him he's overdressed and he strips as she lights the candles in the room to begin the ritual to harvest the magic.
I turn and he's there, every part of him on display. The lit match is forgotten as I get my first visual of this man who will soon be inside me. I'd known his shoulders were broad, that his waist tapered attractively in his dress clothes, but with no coverings, the plain and strength of his body stands in relief. Skin demarcated by dips and bulges of flesh that I want to grip between my teeth, and that's without looking at his cock. My eyes skate over that part, wanting to save that moment for later. Though I can tell he's already hard, my lower body feels empty, hungry, needy.
Fuck that man.
Hungry, her pussy says, feed me.
She has to stop herself from drooling and instructs him which candles he needs to light on his side of the room. He does as she says, and then he leans in to kiss her, but she panics and she just swerves him. Like, she's like, oh, kiss my cheek. Yeah. He understands that she's nervous and is like, okay, we'll go slow. May I touch you? She nods and he gently runs his hands over her back. She relaxes a little bit and he asks her to bathe with him, so they take a little soak in the bathing pool, which is his natural habitat because he is a giant octopus man.
Goddamn.
She straddles him as he sits on one of the benches and she can feel his erection prodding her, but he's like, ignore that. He has a mind of his own. He asks her likes and dislikes, and she tells him she just doesn't want to have to ask him to do anything because she can't handle rejection, and he's really understanding about this. But she also doesn't want to fuck in the water because of the lack of lubrication. She starts running her hands over his body, and he's like, I ache for your touch, little witch. And he starts to lick and bite at her nipples and tells her he thinks he's found a delightful treasure. He picks her up and carries her out of the water, and then he starts to dry her off with a towel.
Gideon stops in his position, and his eyes meet mine, filled with a dark hunger that belies the smooth smile on his face. His hands stroke up my legs to hold my hips before he presses his face against my pussy. I jump at the contact, grabbing onto his shoulders. You don't need to do... Gideon growls and I stop speaking when his tongue lightly licks up through my lips. My nails dig into his skin and I'm trembling all over at the tiny tease.
He tells her he wants to taste her, and then she has a little flashback of Jackson telling her how gross it is going down on a woman.
Boo!
Jackson sucks. Oh,
Jackson.
Yeah, he's like, guys don't actually like doing that. It's gross. So now she has a complex.
Then go suck a dick, Jackson, if you don't want to suck on a puss.
She shoves the thought down and nods her head at Gideon, giving him permission.
Rose grabs a pillow and props herself up so she can watch him do his magic. Pun intended. He's still licking away when he enters 2 fingers into her and she instantly comes. After she comes down, he's about to start fingering her again, but she demands his cock. He laughs and says that he knew that there was a demanding witch in there somewhere, and she has this like really overwhelming feeling of freedom from his words because she realized that she asked him for something and wasn't completely rejected like what happened with her previous partner. So he just like has straight up like sexually traumatized her, so she doesn't want to ask for anything. She doesn't want to like have a voice, because last time that she had a voice, he was like, you're absolutely disgusting. We're breaking up. The head of his huge, massive cock is about to enter her.
Jenna.
Don't know why I worded it like that.
Jenna was feeling frisky.
Massive cock.
But he's hesitant and she's like, do it. I can take it.
Gideon's eyes glitter. Can you? Maybe I should make you do that sometime. Fuck yourself down on my cock, trying to make it fit instead of taking it slow and easy. I arch my back, but two can play the dirty talk game. I like it when it hurts a little, when I have to stretch for you.
Oh. He tells her when he partially shifts, he's going to be doing just that. He's going to stretch her until she can't take any more.
Things wrap around my thighs and immobilize me, keeping me spread as the unforgiving hardness of Gideon's cock changes. Softer, smoother, sliding into me and moving in a way that tickles before the pressure starts. Oh, fuck, fuck, fuck.
Is it going to be a big old tentacle?
She's taking in all of his squidness.
Ew.
Slimy.
Where his legs are, there's like other limbs coming out of him with tentacles on them. So he has like a bunch of, he has his like two little legs and then like tentacles.
His little legs.
Yeah, he skips leg day.
Yeah.
It strikes her that if he has those, then what does his dick look like?
Show me. My lips tremble at my request and it moves inside me, sliding out of me. The tentacle tip curls in front of me as if on display. Tilting my head, I reach out, poking the appendage, and the tapered end curls around my finger, smearing wetness against my skin. Is that one your cock? Is it?
It is. Yeah.
So his cock is a tentacle.
Yeah, but it's like a special tentacle.
He has like a male penis when he's in his human form, and then just a plethora of tentacles when he's in his kraken form.
And one of them is his wiener.
Oh my goodness. Imagine.
No.
Actually.
Charlotte said, I do imagine.
She asks if his tentacle fucking her feels better than his dick, and he's like, no, but I get off on seeing how much I can fit inside you. He tells her that he's never shifted for a woman before because he was scared that there would be a bad reaction, and this is very special to him, so she's so happy that he chose to have this experience with her. One of Gideon's tentacles grabs her arm and puts her hand behind her back, and his dick tentacles sucks on her clit.
Gideon looks up at the sound. So damn beautiful, Rose. Your pretty cunt is so wet. And clasping. Does it need something? Yes. I want to hide my face, but I can't take my eyes off Gideon. It's so empty. We can't have that.
She's got a gorilla grip.
I know. He's like, man, you're pussy gripping.
He enters her and his tentacles like curling in on itself as he enters her. So it's like stretching her. She's a size queen at this point. The tip of it uncurled a little bit to like hit her G-spot at the same time. But he's still stretching her and she literally starts sweating from it because she can't take any more. She's like stretched to the freaking brim. She tells him to stop. He's like, girl, look how much of my tentacle you've taken. And she looks down and she's like, holy fuck. But it makes her like still horny. She's like, yeah, I can take that. So then she like tells him to continue, even though she was like sweating from it.
She's like, put the whole thing in there.
She's hella soaked, but needs more. So she begs for his cock instead because she needs to take a trip to Pound Town. Like, I want to get pummeled and your tentacle's just not doing it for me. So he like takes down from his partial form and starts fucking her hard. He delivers and fucks her until they both come. After she comes down, they talk about their agreement. And he's like, what if I want something more? And she's excited, but stiffens at the thought of fucking it up. And he takes her stiffening as a sign that she's uncomfortable. He's like, maybe we can just talk about it another time. Rose falls asleep in his arms. And he's just thinking about how he can't fuck this up with her and how badly he wants to fuck up the man who hurt her so much. She wakes up and she's like, so I'm gonna go. And he's like, no, we're not done yet. Can I like bring you lunch today? She thought that when he asked if he could see her at lunchtime that he just wanted to fuck her again. And when she found out that he genuinely meant that he wanted to see her again to take her food, she was so taken back.
A gentleman.
I know. He like just wants to see his pookie. Rose is at work now and she's completely spacing out just thinking about their encounter last night. And that's when she comes to the conclusion that she won't skirt around this topic of being with Gideon out of fear of rejection because she likes him and she wants to be with him. Lowell knocks on the door and brings her out of her thoughts when he enters the room with Sophia, who's the informant that was there the first time that got the information for Gideon. He tells her that he caught her setting up a recording device in the main bathroom. Rose finds out that Sophia was actually being used by one of her clients, Linda, and her husband. They have like a game who can seduce the third party the fastest, and Sophia was their choice and like ultimately like a victim. Rose vows to punish them, especially since it wasn't their first time that they've done this. And then she turns to Sophia and she's like, well, what do I do with you? Like, you broke a huge rule. You can't record people. Sophia tells her that she'll tell her information to lessen whatever she has in mind for punishment. And Rose agrees. And Sophia tells her that there's an issue with their magical currents in their main bath hall. They go to the main bath hall and she sees a couple having an exhibition show. And while they're fucking, the man looks as if he's claiming her. And she's like, ooh, that makes my pussy wet. I want that. Back to the present, she bans Sophia from the bathhouse until she's either mated or has a long-term partner. And she's like, well, see you never. It was nice knowing you, because that will never happen. As they walk out, Gideon walks in with her lunch. And a minute later, her bestie Catherine walks in. Rose tells her, at this time, there's no one in the bathhouse for her to fuck. And she's like, no one? Then looks at Gideon. And Gideon's like, that's my girl. Like, we're seeing each other. Back off. And she's like, oh, okay.
Rose only.
She tells Rose she's here for the wards to help Jared, who's Rose's brother, and that there's another missing person. And instantly, Gideon goes on defense and wants and needs to protect Rose. They're just having normal convo during their lunch. And at the end, he pulls out a present for her. And at first, she's like, freezes. And she's like, I don't take payments for sex. Like, I had sex with you because I wanted to. You don't have to pay me. And he's like, what the fuck? Like, I'm just trying to give you a courting gift.
He's like, this is just a gift. I like you.
He's like, who hurt this girl? She opens the box and it's two fountain pens that he custom ordered in the 1900s, made with pink marble and gold, and the caps have gold engraved octopuses on them.
Cute.
She's in love with them, and he tells her she deserves to be wooed and he wants to woo her. After their lunch date, Gideon sneaks into the antique building where the treasure is going to be sold, and he finds papers hidden. He finds out the owners of the store's names, Mark and Jackson DeWitt.
Jackson. Naughty boy.
How to have fun. Anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
By law, 21 plus, terms and conditions apply.
He also notices weird coding at the bottom of the paper for one section, and he notices the date has moved up. It's not going to be in 2 weeks anymore. It's happening in 2 days. They have a wardmaster over fixing the walls, and him and Lowell have been going at it all day. And Rose tells Lowell that she actually thinks the wardmaster is a great match for him. Lowell thinks the wardmaster hates him, but then the wardmaster walks in as Lowell's drinking his coffee, takes it from his hand, drinks his drink, and then like seductively licks his lips and hands it back to him.
Huh. Okay.
Lowell's about to leave to go court his wardmaster when Jackson comes in the bathhouse.
Get out!
Boo. As Rose looks him over, she notices how shallow he looks, and she's like, ew, this man is straight up giving me the ick. I can't believe I ever even liked him to begin with. He tries putting on a charm for her, telling her he's checking in on her and has a client coming in tonight and he wants a tour. And she's like, fuck you. Literally, fuck off. And like, he's like trying like smile and like bat his eyes, and she can just tell everything is so forced on him. She's like, what did I ever see in this guy?
Yeah, gross.
He's still trying to convince her to bend to his will by saying sweet nothings, and she knows that he doesn't mean anything. And that's also when she notices that his soul is literally ugly as fuck. It's not the threads that she saw previously. She's filled with like undescribable relief that he wasn't actually her soulmate and she just made a mistake. And then Jared flies into the room telling Jackson to get the fuck out and to never step foot in here again, or he will basically go FBI on his life until he finds something to expose him. And Jackson says fine and then leaves.
That's right.
So Gideon's bestie Mace confirmed what the coding was on that section of the piece of paper, and the auction is actually trafficking people. He's completely enraged, and of course it's all happening right next door to his mate, and he's like, this cannot happen. Gideon is watching her building from across the street when he sees a man go into the alley in between her buildings, and then he follows him. It's Jackson DeWitt, and he's looking at the side of the wall of the bathhouse and frowns. Gideon takes a picture to send to Mace and asks him what he's doing, and he's a douchebag, and he tells him, he's like, mind your own business. You know who I am? I'm Jackson. I like own this place. And Gideon uses compulsion to tell him to stay away from this bathhouse. And then he runs away like the little bitch he is.
Yeah.
And this is one of my favorite parts of the book. Like the king Gideon is, he actually tells his mate that she could be in danger and that she deserves to know. And I feel like a lot of books, the male's just like, I need to protect her, but she's in grave danger, but I won't say anything to her. But this guy, he's not like that. He's like, my boo's in danger. I'm going to give her all the tea and tell her what's going on.
As he should.
Right? I love it. He sends her an email with all the information.
An email?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
To whom it may concern.
Yeah. You are in grave danger.
Yeah. He also attached the picture of who's responsible for this. And at this point, like, he still doesn't know that Jackson is her ex. So he just thinks it's like some random guy. And he's like, keep an eye out for this guy because he's the one that's fucking with your shit. When Rose and Gideon meet again, Rose is horny as fuck. And instead of going on their date, they fuck. Rose can't get out of her head now and she wants to be claimed. So she asks Gideon if this time she can take off her necklace. That's obviously the contraceptive spell. And she basically asks if he can breed her.
Oh my God. It's like their second time fucking.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's like, it's basically impossible. So
yeah.
Yeah.
He tells her, yes, like, absolutely, I would love to breed you. But just because it's extremely rare that the Kraken can't have children doesn't mean it's impossible. And she's like, eh, let's do it. Let's try to have a baby.
She says, give me a Kraken baby. Gideon's nostrils flare. You'd welcome me filling you over and over just for the small chance that something takes root. Unmerciful heat flows through me as I nod. Gideon presses his forehead to mine. The touch is achingly perfect. Say it, little witch. Yes, I breathe.
Put a baby in her.
Do it.
Put a little octopus in her.
Ew.
Did it shoot out of her when it's time to give birth?
Ew.
Oop, I see a tentacle. So they start getting down to business.
Such a pretty cunt. I can't wait until I can see my cum dripping from it. Is that what's gotten you so hot, little witch? Have you been spending hours thinking about how I'm going to fill you up? How desperately I'm going to take you?
He tells her to finger herself and she's like, if I wanted to masturbate, why would I need you?
Yeah, true.
She tells him that she's ready for him and he tells her to run, letting his primal instincts take over. She gets like 3 steps before he slams her on the bed and takes her. She screams his name as she comes. Gideon is literally the happiest he's ever been and they fuck again. This time he's in his partial form and when he comes, it's like so much is basically coming out of her ears at this point. She's like completely full with cum. He's being so sweet and lovey and he wants to tell her all the things he can't say, but instead he uses his actions to show her. So he's just like so sweet. They start talking about the auction and he finds it really weird that she hasn't asked all the questions about the trafficking. And again, he tells her if she has any questions about the email, just to text him. She's like, meh, okay. He can't shake off though the feeling of her not being curious about it. And he's like, well, we did just have crazy sex. Maybe she's just super tired.
Is she in on it?
I don't know.
Later, she's at her desk when she finally opens the email from Gideon and she's so angry reading it. She's pissed that people would still traffic other magical creatures after all this time. She forwards it to her brother Jared and then calls him, but as they talk, that's when she notices there's a picture attached to it and Jared's like, do not open that picture, but it's too late. She sees Jackson's face and knows that their whole relationship was actually him using her to steal the bathhouse magic. Jared tries to stop her because they don't know for sure if that's what really happened, but she's like, oh, I know, and she hangs up and she's like, I'm gonna go find this motherfucker. Gideon and Mace have tied up Mark and Jackson DeWitt. They learn Mark knows pretty much nothing about the auction going on. It's just his name on the operation, so he's like the fallback person. Gideon and Mace take out a couple of the transports at the antique shop and save the 5 women that were to be sold. So they have like a magic council that determines like the judgment of people doing the offenses. So Mace teleports Mark to them and Gideon is left with Jackson and the women to wait. He tries to get Jackson to talk when there's a crash at the front door. Gideon prepares for a fight when Rose walks in. He's shocked and asks why she's there and Jackson says some gross like misogynistic bullshit like she's obviously here to suck my dick. It's just yucky like what he says.
Ew.
He's a piece of shit.
Fuck you, sir.
And Gideon's like, this is your ex? This man?
He said, I'm gonna eat him.
Uh-huh. So he wants to kill Jackson now, but stops himself because he knows that he needs to face the punishment from the council. Rose tries to argue that he should actually just die, but Gideon's like, nope, we gotta do things right.
He said, I'll get in trouble.
She's like, kill him!
So she finally agrees, and she's like, and I at least want answers. Jackson uses his magic to break free of his restraints and uses one of the girls as a hostage. So he has like these weird markings on his wrist that he did. So if someone tries to put him in restraints, he can break out of them. Rose tells him to leave the girl alone and take her as a hostage instead. But then something crazy happens.
What?
The other captive girls all start attacking Jackson, swinging items from the the antique shop until he drops the one girl.
Yeah. Girl power.
Yeah. He uses magic to control their collars and makes them all drop to the floor. So he also can control other people's restraints, which is a weird magic to have.
It is, but I guess handy.
Rose steps up and grabs Jackson's face, telling him that he won't hurt anyone else. And then she releases a wave of magic that gives Gideon goosebumps. And remember, Gideon has like the most magic that she's ever seen. But what she just did scares him. When she steps back, Jackson is conscious, but all his emotions are wiped away. So he's just like a little robot. Mace arrives at this point and takes in the scene. He sees Jackson and is very impressed that Rose can do a soul bind, which is very illegal.
Oh.
She tells Mace that he should pretty much answer any question easily now. And Mace lets her know that she should leave before the council arrives because she can go to jail. He tells Gideon to get his mate out and he'll deal with the rest. And Gideon freezes because he has yet to tell Rose that she is his mate. And she's like, excuse me? What did you just say? And Gideon's like, you're not my mate? No, not you.
We're just fucking.
And now she panics and she's like, okay, I have to go. She leaves and Mace is very annoyed at Gideon for not telling her. And he's like, go fix it, you dumbass. Like, why wouldn't you say anything? Rose is upset because she was just told that she is not his mate. And it brought back every awful feeling that Jackson gave to her because she's like, oh, I really like him. I thought we were good. She goes back to the bathhouse and decides the best way to forget about it is to use sex to numb herself. So she goes to find some regulars. Gideon storms in before anything can happen and she runs, but he switches to his Kraken form and tentacles wrap around her naked body. So she was fully prepared. She was nudie booty, like scoping out the place, being like, okay,
come here, boys.
He tells her that he wants to be mates and he said it wrong and didn't mean it like that because he was just too scared to tell her because he didn't want to get rejected. Her anger dissolves as she hits an energy drain and he cuddles her till she's asleep. So they're both nude, but nothing happens because of the soul bind magic that she did. She just like... He shifts back to his human form and covers her to take her home to let her rest. Once he gets there, he sets her in her bed and makes her some tea, and then he wakes her up so she can drink it, and he talks to Mace, learning everything went according to the plan. Women got out safely, amulet got secured, and then he cuddles Rose for the night. When she wakes up, she is still cuddling with him and thinks about everything from the last day. He wakes up shortly after her, and they agree to talk about what happened, but she really doesn't want to talk. She has something else in mind. She undresses and gets on top of him, straddling him. She goes to give him a blowjob, but he stops her.
I hunger to feel you. I was so worried when you stormed in yesterday. I wanted to feel you from the inside out. Oh, you're pissy.
Just as it's about to get hot and heavy, she stops because she realizes she's not wearing her charm anymore. And with them not being in a secure place in the relationship, she's like, I'm not going to even risk it.
You're going to risk it before. What the fuck's the difference now?
Yeah. They were boyfriend, girlfriend before, but now
that she finds out that they're actually like mates, like soul mates, and she's like, no.
He pulls her off of him and demands that they talk this through. He tells her he has feelings for her and he needs to tell her about it. So she agrees. So they make food and make some more tea and then sit down and talk. After they've eaten, he admits that she is his mate. He just didn't want to scare her by bringing it up because he's known since the first time he saw her walk through that coffee shop. He had to admit the bathhouse wasn't his first time meeting her because she's like, what do you mean the coffee shop? And he's like, yeah, so I was stalking you for weeks.
He said, I followed you, actually.
And she's like, okay, not like the worst of the offenses. Like, she's more worried about the fact that she can't read his soul threads. So she's like, the stalking, meh, whatever, that's fine. Your soul threads, deal. Like, we can't be mates. And he's like, so I'm a little embarrassed, but I actually cloak them with magic because I don't want to be on anyone's radar. And she demands to see them. And he's like, I don't care about that. Like, I know we're already compatible. Like, soul threads don't matter. I want you. You want me. Like, why can't we do this? She agrees. So they have a normal day at her house and it's perfect. So they like cuddle, watch movies. It's so perfect. In fact, she asks him to move in and he says, okay.
What? She just wouldn't fuck him without her amulet on or whatever. And now she's like, you want to move in?
The day was perfect, Riley. The day was perfect.
They watched a really good movie.
Yeah.
They watched all the Twilight.
Yes.
That one, that could get anyone. Yeah. You know? Fair enough.
He said he was Team Edward. So, like, they're compatible.
I would say move in right now.
She straddles his lap, feeling all hot and bothered, thinking about him stalking her. And he tries to say that she's still resting, so they shouldn't do this. But she's like, I'm good to go. So they start making out.
I break the kiss. You're holding back, I accuse. You've been holding back on me the whole time, being careful not to show your hand and scare me away. Gideon's eyes narrow. Rose, I make a noise in my throat. Stop trying so hard to seduce me and show me that greedy beast you've been taunting me with. Yeah, show her your beast.
He says he can do that for her and then reminds her that she broke her promise to stay away from the auction and his creature is demanding to punish her. And she's like, what kind of punishment?
Okay.
He tells her that before she can get her punishment, she needs to get on her knees and apologize. She kneels and he asks what she's waiting for. And then she gets to work taking off his bottoms and sucking his dick.
His bottoms?
His bottoms, his pantaloons. He changes her pace and starts fucking her mouth. And he comes in her mouth and then she's immediately like climbing up his body and is like, now, we're doing this now.
I want to devour you, little witch, hunt you down and trap you forever, fuck you and fill you with my seed until your very scent is too mixed with mine for anyone to recognize. Yes, Dutty Kraken.
She begs him to fuck her and he says that he will, but he wants a bond. He asks if she's gonna bond with him and she says yes. Baby, no. Bond, yes.
When, first of all, she said yes to baby like the day before, so I'm like, girl.
She's very confused.
It's too late. You already did it.
I know.
He finally thrusts up into her and she feels a tug in her chest. And when she opens her eyes, she sees that their soul threads are tying together. And then he fucks her faster as they get bonded. When they finish, she tells him she loves him.
Yeah. It's all moving at a very normal pace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She wakes up the next morning with Gideon and goes to make coffee when she screams because Mace is in her apartment and he's already making them some.
Oh.
And he's a demon, so he could just appear in places.
He says, surprise, shawty. Yeah. I'm in your house.
Mace offers her a cup of coffee and tells her that he's so excited to meet her, and Gideon is very annoyed at him for just dropping in. Mace asks if they've talked about their lifespans now that they're bonded, and she's like, no, what do you mean? And Mace is like, oh, he didn't tell you that now that you're bonded, you could either live thousands of years like him, or he can live only a human lifespan like you. You'll just have to wait and see.
Oh, I don't like that.
No. Rose is annoyed that they did not talk about this, but he says it wasn't a hard decision. He doesn't care how long he lives as long as he's with her.
Cute.
And we have the epilogue. She's finished her matching backlog, and now they're leaving to go to a surprise that he has for her. He blindfolds her and takes her into a room to set her in a chair while he undresses. He lifts her dress up, and she can hear whispers around them. And she's nervous because they've never performed in front of other patrons.
Ooh.
She feels something familiar wrap around each ankle, and he asks if she's positive she wants to do this.
My mate wants to be claimed in front of others. What kind of kraken would I be not to fuck you the way only I can? Oh, so she's about to get put on a show.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He takes her blindfold off and puts her hands behind her back, keeping them secure with another tentacle. A tentacle slides through her folds and he tells her the people want to see her dripping cunt.
Give the people what they want.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gideon grunts and I feel the tentacle pulse and the squish of fluids inside me. The tentacle must be Gideon's hectocotylus.
His peeny tentacle.
You don't know squid anatomy?
I sure don't. The one that can fill me continuously with his seed. Embarrassment heats my face. This amount of release is only the start. That's right. You love when I fill you up. More and more of Gideon's sex organ enters me, and the stretch has me starting to squirm. I gasp in surprise when other tentacles slip inside me, spiraling with the first.
Then he makes another tentacle go to her booty.
Anal play with tentacles is the best. All the teasing and stretching with none of the sting of fingers. I mean, they're quite, I feel like it'd be, that's like perfect for anal. Squishy.
Yeah.
Slimy.
Slimy. His tentacles, they like suction inside her vagina wall too, and like I guess her asshole wall, they like suction in
Everyone watching loves this, and she loves that everyone's watching. He makes her come multiple times before she notices the crowd has turned into a complete orgy, so they're no longer paying attention to them. They're like all fucking each other. And then they kiss, and she says the experience couldn't have been more perfect. The end.
Beautiful.
Ended with a nice orgy.
Happily ever after.
I feel like a lot happened in a span of 4 days, but when you read it, it doesn't feel like 4 days.
Does it feel much longer?
Yeah.
Because you have all the details of like the transport stuff. Like it goes into full detail.
Yeah, there's a lot of details in there.
So, Riley, how many red pepper emojis do you give this one?
I liked it. It was cutesy. The smut was good. I'd give it like a 3.5. 3.75.
Okay. Beautiful. Okay.
Not my favorite, but it was good.
Yeah. And would you trade places with Rose?
I don't know. I don't think I want to fuck a squid or octopus, whatever he is.
Really?
He's just Squidward.
Now you ruined it. You ruined
handsome
it.
Squidward.
Oh, handsome Squidward. I'm sorry. Do you think Gideon is sexy?
Not anymore.
I killed it. Sorry.
A little. I think, yeah.
He's not bad.
Yeah. I think he's cute. Like, nice, caring guy who likes to fuck.
Yeah. Oh, and also, you may have noticed that at the end of the last episode of season 2, we said we were going to be doing Death by Laura Thalassa. We did record it. The audio didn't work out. So it's officially a lost episode. But go read the book. It's good. It's a good conclusion. Beautiful ending.
Yes, it was a great ending.
Yeah. But next week, we're going to be telling Riley all about Original Sin by Mila Crawford. And we're going to have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about.
I have no fucking clue. It's got a man on the cover. It looks like he's laying in bed with a shirt off and it says Original Sin. I have no fucking clue.
It's hard when it's just a naked man on the cover because you literally, it could be anything.
Once again, I think it's going to be a bad boy. A bad boy. And I think this girl is going to meet him. I think he's going to be like a bad boy and she's going to meet him and she's going to get like wrapped up in his stuff. And because she's going to be like a really good girl, possibly religious. And so everything that she's going to be doing with this man is going to be sinful. And she's going to have a lot of guilt about it. It's going to be a lot of back and forth, I feel like, maybe, possibly. And obviously they're going to fuck a lot. But yeah, she's just going to get wrapped up into his bad boy lifestyle. And she's going to struggle internally about it. And she's going to explore new things. And she's a virgin.
Wow. You missed one key element.
Yep.
What? It's her step, bro.
Oh, okay.
You find out right at the beginning, so it's not a spoiler.
I'm excited for that one then.
Riley loves a stepbrother.
Riley does love a stepbrother.
Even though I don't have any, I mean, no, I don't know. Take that out. No.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at @SmutUpAndListenPodcast and on TikTok at @SmutUpAndListen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at @SmutUpAndListenPodcast and on TikTok at @SmutUpAndListen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.